sorry, my head's turned. There we go. Okay. Just making sure
the audio is in sync. Yeah, we're back.
Everybody, let's do an audio.
Audio.
Is in sync. Yeah, we're back.
Audio.
Everybody, let's do an audio.
Oh, we don't sound awful. That's good news.
You sound great.
Hey guys, welcome to Just Another Nerdy Podcast. I'm Jay. This is Tommy. Dritz usually sits there. We don't know where he is right now. But anyways, welcome. Feel free, if you're listening to us on iTunes or Google Play or any of those platforms, feel free to hit us up live on YouTube every Wednesday at noon-ish. And then if you're actually watching us live on YouTube, feel free to hit us up on those platforms, Google Play and iTunes. Put a little nerdy in your pocket. I don't have the shame. Yeah, you're going to do the drizz.
I got to do the drizz.
Fuck you, Jerry. Fuck you, Jay. Fuck you, Jay. That's what he says. Oh, hey. Any Hoback? My brother-in-law is on. Woohoo, I'm actually able to watch this time. Hello, dear brother. That's actually my sister. Because I don't think he calls me dear brother ever. In fact, growing up, he used to beat the shit out of me.
So, dear brother, take this part.
Because, yeah, I mean, he was my brother-in-law, and I didn't have a brother, so it's actually your sister! I see, okay. Chris, I wonder if Chris is with us today.
I wonder.
He'll pop in eventually, I think. But yeah, so we,
what did you do without us last week, Chris?
Yeah, I wonder what Chris was up to last week, like, at the noon time slot. Like, was he, I don't know, was he sleeping?
Eating some
lunch. Yeah, eating some, he's like, finally, I could get to that ham sandwich every Wednesday that I miss out on. Yeah, I finally didn't have this obligation to watch. I got to my ham sandwich.
I was obligated for a sandwich.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. I don't know where. Nate is, but he's coming. But we're all mic'd now, which is nice. I just decided to use one of my lav mics, and it worked.
Works great.
Yeah, it looks good. So we're having one of those days. Yeah. So okay. So Tommy, what have you been up to? What have you been playing? You've actually been off the show for 3 weeks because you were MIA last time. You were pretty sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were not feeling so good, which is, I mean, understandable.
Yeah, no.
What have you been up to for the past several weeks? You've seen anything new? I know you said you just told me you caught up with Supergirl.
Yeah, caught up with Supergirl. Caught up with Arrow. I can't seem to catch up with Legends. I just don't enjoy the show.
Oh my god, you have to catch up with Legends.
I've seen the first two seasons. That's it.
I'm not kidding. So the end of season 3 of Legends, that's where they're at, right? Yeah, they're at season 3. The end of season 3 of Legends is the most absurdly wonderful thing that's ever happened.
I'll have to catch up.
It's nuts. Like, it's and you know, it gets a little better cuz like, you know, you get some Constantine in there. They do take
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, he does fantastic. And then they take who did they take? They added Wally West in there. That's he landed. Mm-hmm. And then they added the bad guy again is what's his name?
Vandal?
No, it's not Vandal Savage. They're done with him. It's Arrow villain. The main, he's Damian Dark.
Is he a villain again?
He's the villain again, but he's sort of like, he's the main villain, but there's a bigger villain behind it. And
if they fight him, hopefully it's not anticlimactic.
It's probably anticlimactic, but the other guy that they fight, what the fudge?
Can't be.
Oh!
What?
Oh no!
Are we not on?
I think we're on now, but...
Oh, okay.
So we fell away, but now we're back.
All I know, to finish our tangent, if Damien Dark was an Arrow, that whole season was rocky from the start. I was like, oh, just let this season end. And then it came to the final episode, and I was like, finally, here's the showdown with the big, bad Damien Dark. And then they stood almost nose to nose and just traded punches back and forth.
Yeah.
And I was like, This dude's a master of magic, and Oliver Queen is a master of martial arts, and
he's also a master of martial arts. Yeah. So, I mean...
And they just stood there and punched each other back and forth, and I was like, this is lame.
Yeah.
What happened to the choreography? How about an actual fight?
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Let's make sure... Oh, man. Okay, so we're having some technical difficulties.
Yeah. Very.
Let's reload.
Okay, so we're having some technical...
Okay, you talk.
Okay, I'll talk. Hello. Hello.
Okay, you talk. Okay, I'll talk. Oh, okay. You seem a little further away. It's just because you have a different mic, but okay, we're fine. Yeah. We're back.
I'm sorry. We had a few audio technical difficulties. The guys over at the... It's going to be funny as like on iTunes because I'm recording this also.
They're not going to have any issues. None at all.
Anyways. Okay, so yeah, they have that final showdown. Damien Dark. Arrow. I think the problem is, like, so they're both masters of martial arts. Mm-hmm. Damien Dark is also a master of magic. Like, he's... Because they both trained.
It makes it kind of an unfair... fight if he's just as good in martial arts as Oliver, but he also knows magic.
Yeah, it was just okay. Like, I mean, the concept of magic was not well translated into Arrow.
Oliver should have just used his boxing glove Arrow. One and done.
Yeah, right? When he actually busted that out when he was fighting, what was that, Tiger?
I've waited like 4 seasons for him to bust out a trick arrow, and then he finally did.
Yeah, he like rolled, and that was funny because he just rolled the arrow, like he was doing a roll, and he stabbed the punching glove with the arrow, and then he shot the guy with it. And I was like, that was perfect.
Yeah.
That may have been the peak. Well, so my biggest problem with Arrow is they've, like, I mean, that's the thing about Arrow is he's a trick arrow guy. Like, that's his thing. Like, Hawkeye, kind of, but Arrow way more. Like, punching glove arrows,
Green Arrow has
net arrows.
Green Arrow has arrows that shoot other arrows in comics. Like, he's ridiculous.
Yeah, he has a ridiculous... And it's because he runs this... Like, he owns this company called Queens Consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
So, then they get rid of Queens Consolidated and they have this whole Mayor arc. And now he's no access to technology. Nobody's doing anything for him, like, technology-wise. So it's like, what? Like,
and like,
where's your goddamn trick arrows?
When is he gonna reveal himself? Because in the comics, he's open about it. Like, I'm Oliver Queen. I'm the Green Arrow. Like,
yeah.
In the comics, like, everybody knows, and nobody really cares.
Yeah, well, I get this idea of forcing... forcing this concept, but I just don't... I don't dig it.
Yeah.
Like, I think trying to push Arrow into being Batman has done the show some detriment.
That is... In season one, it started out fine. Like, it was great. And then, just as it went on, he's Batman. Like,
yeah. And then their team choices are really odd, too.
But then it's like, they're doing it because, like, we can't... Warner Brothers said we can't get Batman, so let's make him Green Batman.
Like, but then they don't when it comes time to commit and use him as that tool, like Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the perfect time to show that this is our Batman.
Yeah.
Is to use him in the Flashpoint series. Because they really just half-assed the Flashpoint.
Yeah, and that's such a good movie and comic art.
I know. Well, so here's my thought, okay? So they didn't even have to do Oliver Queen's dad. If they couldn't get that actor, they wouldn't have to do that. Here's what I thought would have been dope as shit. Green Arrow is Joe West.
Yeah. Wow.
Right? That guy would be awesome as a dark Batman-style character.
Grant Gustin was hyping it up. He kept saying, Flashpoint, Flashpoint. And I was like, yeah, we're going to get a nice arc. It was one episode.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the season was,
remember when Flashpoint happened?
Yeah, remember Flashpoint?
You remember Flashpoint?
Remember how Flash is dumb?
And I just keep, like, it's like, we do remember Flashpoint, we're trying not to remember Flashpoint, because...
it was one episode, like...
You guys ruined it.
We felt nothing.
Hey! Chris is here. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Chris?
Chris, we were just joking a little bit ago about what you were up to earlier.
Did you eat a nice ham sandwich?
Yeah, did you have, like, I mean, what did you do while you were gone? We said that you were just eating lunch, and you were like, finally, I could get to my ham sandwich. Now that I don't have to watch Champ this week. but yeah, so that was, to me, that was the downside of the Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Was because, there's so much going on and so much cool stuff. But, like, the coolest arc is having Batman's dad,
yeah,
you know, being Batman and him being so different. And I'm like, that's okay.
My favorite arc in the comics, because then his mom goes nuts and becomes the Joker.
Yeah, and can you imagine Moira McQueen being, like, the trickster or something? Like, that would be so cool. Yeah. And then you have, you know, that the actor who plays his daddy, if you could get him to show up, and you don't even have to have him be Green Arrow, he could just be Arrow.
That was such a good season 2 of Arrow was so good.
Oh my god.
God, it was good.
Yeah, no, and so
Manu Bennett is different.
Well, when you could have him, because apparently they took him away again. And that's why, like, halfway through the season, like, and I'm out. And you're like, really? Really?
Well,
yeah,
well, they keep jerking him around, like, hey, we want you, we don't, we want you, we don't, and that Monty Bennett was, like, angry about it. He's like, know what's going on. Like, come on, guys.
Right?
Quit jerking me around. I love playing Deathstroke. Bring me back. And
yeah.
So they brought him back in the last season for, like, one or two episodes.
Yeah. They gave him, like, a little mini arc, and then they didn't. And I thought they were going to. Oh, well, maybe they did, too, and I didn't finish it, but I thought they were going to set up his son
as maybe.
The new Deathstroke.
I didn't pay attention to that.
Did you finish the end of the season?
I haven't seen. I'm like 4 episodes behind, so.
I'm sure they if they would have done it, they would have done it by now.
Yeah,
but
that
seemed like that was going to be the setup. Was his son was going to be the new, like, Deathstroke?
Yeah.
But then, of course, they still can't use the Deathstroke mantle even because they're going to put him in the movies.
Thanks to Warner Brothers running the show. Like in season 2, when we started working towards the Suicide Squad, and it was really good. Like you had Deadshot, and you had all of them like teaming up. And then Warner Brothers decided they were going to release their Suicide Squad movie, so they told the Arrow people, like, nope, axe that.
I wish WB would understand this idea that, like, yeah, they're not the next Avengers.
Well, yeah.
They're never going to build that up without patiently.
I also wish WB keeps pushing that their TV and movie universes are two separate entities. They're not in the same, like, timeline. So what's the harm in having a Suicide Squad on TV and a Suicide Squad in the movies?
Like, my thing though is they want to do what the Avengers have done, and the problem being, and they've come out with a Justice League movie. That's fine. That's great. Is Dritz gone this week? We don't know where he is. I'm assuming he's sleeping.
He's going ghost.
Yeah, he's a ghost. Hand me that statue. No wait, put the statue down. Hand me Gary. Look, he's been here the whole time, Chris. Didn't you notice?
Yeah. Dritz, you've lost a ton of weight.
Yeah, buddy. You're looking great. You've been doing some TV lately?
What's your secret? I want to know. I'm on the wrong workout plan.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So, what was I even ranting about? Oh, yeah. This idea of the WB. So, they want to do what the Avengers have done. Which, if you really think about it, the really sad thing is that had they actually been patient and rolled it out properly,
mm-hmm.
with how many years they've been working on Justice League and the Batman v Superman and all that shit, they could have done it by now. Had they done it right, they could have had a layout just like the Avengers by building each character separately and then doing the join-up movie.
That's what I hated about when you watch Batman v Superman and there's that one scene for like 5 minutes when they just shoehorn in every Justice League member.
Right.
Like, boom, 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 boom. I was like, oh, okay. I know the Justice League, so I know who those are. What if it's someone that just likes superhero movies and has no clue who the Justice League is? They're going to be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. It's really, it's kind of a bummer to me. And so here's the thing. They're not going to do what Avengers has done. Unless they start, like, unless they scrap it and start over and do it proper.
They're rushing it. And that's why it's turning out.
Yeah, they're rushing it. They're also putting too big a names behind everything.
Yeah.
Like, the thing about it is, like, all those Marvel guys that got hired were either at their lowest in their career or they were just starting fresh. Chris Hemsworth was brand new.
Yeah, like brand new.
Yeah. He didn't get any name until he was
The started. Other Chris was in the not well received Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah. Well, Chris Evans was kind of in a, like, he was just at the beginning of the launch of his platform. Yeah, and this is what helps him.
Robert Downey Jr. was recovering from drug addiction and finally trying to jump. He needed that. Like,
So they did a good job. And then, like, Justice League starts off with Ben Affleck's Batman. At his prime, like, Ben Affleck was at his prime at that point. He had directed Argo. He had done all this other shit.
We could afford...
Bad idea.
We could afford Ben Affleck and nobody else.
Right? So that was kind of my my myth. So they're never going to be able to do what they do with the Avengers unless they start fresh. What they need to understand is that the DC CW universe is, like... It's where their money is. It's where their work, their good work has gone into. And if they put everything into it, they could probably capitalize off that. Maybe not make billions like the Avengers is, but still make a good amount of money.
If they would take more chances and get better writers. My problem with, like, Arrow, like, I always complain about Arrow, but I love Stephen Amell. I think he's a great actor. But the way Oliver Queen's been written the past couple seasons, he's really an unlikable guy.
Like,
he's supposed to be fighting the good fight as the Green Arrow and stuff, and every time I tune in, I'm just like, oh, I really don't care about Oliver Queen. Like,
it's just 1 week, like, you know, he's...
And just, it's just...
He keeps coming back to the same arc of, I'm a bad guy, but a good person.
I'm a murderer.
I'm a good person, but a bad guy.
The problem is, the script is written so terribly, when he has to do those emotional scenes... And he has to show emotion. He's just like, I'm a murderer.
Well,
I'm a bad guy.
Well, stop doing the same arc every season. Like, maybe now that you've developed Arrow. I think last season there was, like, maybe some work on him being, like, a leader.
Yeah.
But again, like, it's just the same arc of, like, I'm a bad guy, but a good person. And it's like, I don't care. I don't care. Like, be also, the Green Arrow, you know, learn.
This is what, season 5 that just ended? 4 or 5?
6.
6?
Yeah. 6.
After 6 seasons, every season, he gets new teammates at every season. Oh, I don't trust him.
Yeah, he stops.
I don't want to be part of a team. People. I don't trust him. I'm going to keep secrets from him. And every fucking season, they get mad and leave.
That's like, the other arc. Like, yeah, that's on, people are like... Over. Oh man, like, you know how many times Diggle has walked away
and comes back
and comes, like, right back
like 5 times a season.
Thank God Laurel died so she could get away from it. Like,
yeah, but then they were like, well, we can't have her be gone, so they brought her back as, like, the evil Black Canary, which I actually do not like. I hate her as the evil Black Canary.
Yeah, so my sister says, yeah, I actually stopped watching Arrow after season 2. You're totally out of the loop on this one. You probably stopped in a good spot.
Season 2 had such a...
Season 2 is the prime.
It had such an emotional and, like, heartfelt ending. Like, I teared up.
Season 3 and season 4 are okay. I mean, you know, that's where they really pushed the Batman.
Yeah.
And then season 5 was interesting because they gave him a son.
Yeah.
And this one, he's like, I'm trying to be a dad and a good person and a bad guy and a team leader.
Well, and then, like, he... didn't know about this kid. His mom hid it from him. And that whole stupid arc in that season where Felicity finds out about him and she's like, we can't be together because you didn't tell me about him. I didn't know about him either.
Yeah, it's like, I really didn't know until recently. I'm trying to process. Like,
yeah, like,
I have to figure it out before I have to tell you. Like, But that's how a mature person would handle it. That's not how CW soap opera characters.
Finding out after all these years, like, he's like, what, 30-something now? Like, I have a kid. Whoa. Like,
and then they let go of the whole, the truth behind what happened. Like, they let go of that huge arc where, like, his mom actually paid that girl to have an abortion.
They tell you
and
that.
And they don't even, like...
And then they never reference it again.
You're a huge Originals fan. Okay, Originals is a TV show.
CW my sister just does a lot of... They'll just drop plot points. Like I said, a lot of it's because of Warner Brothers, and they're like...
Look, I'm still watching Supernatural, so you can make fun of me all you want.
You'll be watching that for like 10 more seasons.
It's the only reason why I continue watching it is because I've been watching it for so long. There's no...
That's exactly me, because the past couple seasons, there'll be a handful of really good episodes, and then the rest of the season is just ho-hum.
Yeah, it's not very good. It's, they've just been kind of stumbling for years. But, I mean, that's how CW, and that's actually kind of the nice thing, too, is, like, CW runs something until it's dead.
Yeah.
Like, it will, and even then, it will, and like, carry the corpse as a puppet.
Sometimes it gets bad, and then it gets better. I mean, you know? Look at Smallville. Smallville started off strong, and then CW took over, and then it went downhill for like two or three seasons, but then they just kept running it, and then the last couple seasons, Smallville were good.
Right, they had Justice League.
And yeah, see, back then, Warner Brothers took chances. They were like, the costumes were terrible, the special effects were like early 2000s, but yeah. It was like, here's Justice League on TV.
But still, then, the only property that they had that was making tons of money was Batman,
yeah,
and who never showed up on Smallville?
Batman.
That's they don't like.
I mean, they had
mixing properties.
Superman Returns.
Yep.
Okay.
But again, Smallville gave way to make Superman Returns happen.
Which again was the thing of I was hyped for Superman Returns and I watched it and Brandon Routh killed it as Superman.
I enjoyed the movie. Like, I did when I watched it. I enjoyed it. I was disappointed though. Because, what do we think about Gotham? Haven't watched it.
I have not seen any of the last season. I understand they said they were going to take their own liberties and it wasn't going to follow the comics. But going into watching all of season 3, they took liberties and liberties and liberties. And now it's like not even... Go into it watching it as a cop show because it's not even a Batman show anymore. They've taken so many liberties with it. Like,
okay.
There is no
Which
way,
is fine.
Yeah, there is no way it's going to ever get back to how the comics are. They've just done their own thing.
It should be like a cop show.
Yeah, there are good points in it. The guy that plays Commissioner Gordon is fantastic. The guy that plays the Penguin is probably the best actor on the whole show in the first couple seasons. And the last two seasons, they've written him shitty. Like, the writing's gone downhill. The guy that plays Alfred, Sean Pertwee, he's fantastic. And a little-known fact, his grandfather actually played one of the doctors in Doctor Who.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so that's cool. He's got kind of a connection to Doctor Who.
Yeah, I haven't watched... I haven't given Gotham a chance. I've heard a lot of
it's,
bad things.
It's mixed. When it's good, it's really good. But when it's bad, it is, like, really bad.
So, I mean, that's... You know, I get pretty selective. So here's the thing. And that's the thing. I'm all over the board. On vacation, though, I did, like, because my wife did all the driving,
mm-hmm.
I binged the rest of Glow, which if you haven't seen Glow, it's fantastic.
Is it?
It's
I've been meaning to watch it. I watched, like, 10 minutes of the first episode, and then I got caught up doing something else.
It's so good, because it's, like, I don't know, once you get to the director, like, Mark Maron, who plays the director, kills it. And what's funny is because my parents hate him. They hated that character from the beginning. They like him a little more towards the end, you know, because at the end of season 2, you come around on him.
Yeah.
But my brother-in-law absolutely loved him. That's why he likes the show. I absolutely love him. Because he's just such a dick. Like, and there's like a part where he's like casting all the ladies. For those of you who don't know, Glow is Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. This is a thing that actually happened. This is loosely based off of that.
Really? I didn't even know that.
There's a documentary about Glow. Like, the actual Glow.
That's awesome.
And it was, like, in the 80s, it was a women's wrestling program called Gorgeous Ladies Wrestling. This is definitely a lot different because you watch the show and their characters don't match up at all with the characters on this. But, they hire an auteur director who does, like, slasher films and all that to do a wrestling program. The producer, Sam Basher, who was Pitts, I think his name, in Veronica Mars.
Oh, yeah.
He plays Sam Basher, who is the producer. He's just a rich kid who loves wrestling. So he's like, oh, let's do women's wrestling. So,
right.
They get all these actresses in who don't know what they're going into. And they find out that what it is. But then they start to, like, kind of fall in love with the idea because they realize it's such a, like, a physical thing. So the auteur director is played by Mark Maron, and he's an asshole.
And, like, I love it because he's, like, casting Allison Brie, and he, like, looks at her, and he's like, you kind of got this thing where you're kind of hot, but also you're not. I mean, I kind of want to do you, but I kind of don't. And it's just, it's really funny banter. And then, you know, by the end, he comes around. Like, I mean, he's a defensive asshole is what he is. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, you know, he comes around and stuff. But it's a great show. Season 2 has this really interesting arc with Bash and his butler who turns out, like, he finds out that his butler's gay. And it's dealing with that idea. Mm-hmm. His butler's run away. How the end of the arc is just fantastic. So then there's that. And then I binged Altered Carbon.
Oh, I was about to ask if you watched it. I love that show. It's so good.
It's so good.
It is so good.
It is every bit of sci-fi you want and need. It's right? So good. Like,
and to think, people were telling me to watch it and watch it and watch it, and I was like, I got other stuff to watch. And Netflix does the same thing Hulu does on occasion, where it'll just autoplay the next thing for me. And my controller was sitting all the way over there, and I was on the couch. I had a bowl of popcorn. I was like, you know what? I'm watching whatever Altered Carbon is. And then I watched all 10 episodes in one go.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. I
binged that whole thing, and it was beautiful. Like, okay, if you have not seen Altered Carbon. First of all, I will say the warning, because, like, you know, my sister, she's a family woman.
It's very mature content.
Very mature. Like, there's a lot of sexy scenes in there.
A lot of naked bits.
Yeah, a lot of bits and pieces of everyone. Like, everyone's got bits and pieces in that movie or show. And I gotta say, the detective woman, when she first showed up, I was kind of like, eh. But goddamn!
Yeah.
She is gorgeous. Like, she's a beautiful lady. So, so Altered Carbon was a lot of fun.
My favorite thing about it was the cinematography. Way it was shot.
My favorite thing is, like, the amount of actors they were able to pack into that.
Yeah.
And talented ones that weren't, like, your top A-listers.
Actors that I swear I've seen in stuff before, but I can't name them.
Oh, I can. So, so the Russian...
Who played the Hotel AI? That's what I want to know. He seems familiar.
Oh, I don't know him. I was thinking of the Russian bastard at the beginning.
Yeah.
Who, like, has the two split. So the first guy... He's in Dollhouse, and he's the best part of Dollhouse. The second version of him that shows up is in Dirk Gently's Detective Agency, and it's so funny because that guy does a shit Russian accent. Like, he is horrible at it, but he plays, like, a southern type of guy in Dirk Gently's where he's like, whatever you say, boss. You know, like, that's how he is and stuff. Yeah. And he's like, oh, you know, and then he does the Russian, and I think there's a reason why they cut him out in the first, like, 10 seconds of him doing a Russian accent, because then they switch back to the guy from Dollhouse.
They were like, nope, cancel that.
And then the guy, I don't know who played that, but major props to the guy who played, like, four characters.
Yeah.
Because he starts off playing just a random street thug asshole, and then he gets his stack pulled. So his stack is, like, your mental... Like, it's your brain, your consciousness. Yeah. Your spine feeds into it, so then it, like, backs up your mind.
Your brain gets downloaded and, like, a microchip.
Yeah, so he gets a stack pulled, and they put in, for the Day of the Dead, they put in her, what is this? Can't be as bad as Game of Thrones. So, what I gotta say in comparison to Altered Carbon and Game of Thrones, Altered Carbon, the sexy scenes are sexy.
Yeah.
Like, they're nice. They're nice.
They are.
Game of Thrones, the sexy scenes are scary. Like, the only time Game of Thrones, like, the sexy scenes are nice are when, like, people are having incest. Whenever there's incest, you're like, they're like, ooh, we're having a great time. Like, siblings have a great time in the world of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But then when you're, like, but whenever it comes to, like, regular sex, it's super rapey. It's super creepy.
Someone always getting assaulted. Like.
Yeah. Like, I was watching the one guy, like, go with this girl. And he's like, and she's like, and I'm like, that looks horrifying. Like, right. I'm terrified of sex now. Like, so
first scenes with Daenerys and Carl.
Yeah, I mean, it just, like, and they had a great time. And then, of course, you know, you get to I mean, you can get down to the end where is it Daenerys? It's Khaleesi.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, yeah, and her and Jon Snow, they're related.
Yeah. Like, every time someone's related, you get like a nice, sweet, sexy time.
I know, they have a good time. So there's even something twisted about the good, like the best film sex. However, Altered Carbon, all of it's nice.
Yeah. Bro, all of it's my nice. My problem with the Jon Snow Daenerys thing is they're getting their nice, sweet, sexy times on, and then it pans out, and there's just little dude watching them. Like,
I'm like, what the hell? Like, see, even the best times, like, it's, there's, yeah, so, so, I mean, there's a lot of sexy times in that. And there, I mean, you know, it's not, you know, like, full-on porn, but I mean, it's at least softcore. It's at least softcore. It's
pretty good softcore.
So yeah, was it Christopher Goodrich? I know the way Tommy does his free time in his bedroom. What the fuck?
What?
If you mean watch badass sci-fi shows,
yeah.
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
So Altered Carbon, though, like, so then, okay, so I was saying, though, props to the guy who's street time, yeah. And then for Day of the Dead, they bring him back as, like, the grandma.
Yeah.
They bring back as the grandma, and he kills it as a Mexican grandma. Yeah. This guy is not in any way Hispanic, but he kills it as a Mexican grandma.
And then I want him to be my grandma.
And then he becomes the Russian bad guy, and you're like, I mean, again, he kills it as the Russian bad guy. He just fucking, he's so good.
Wherever they found this guy, they didn't pay him enough.
You have to hire this guy.
Right.
Any movie, any TV show, this guy needs to be on your list. Like
Altered Carbon. Like we said, there is sexy times. If that's not your thing, fast forward through the sexy times.
I very highly doubt it's available on Netflix here in Korea. They're pretty restricted on all porn, softcore included. Aww.
Well, you're on. When you move on base, does that change? Because I know. So she said she can't get Hulu or Amazon until she gets on base. When she moves on to base.
Would Netflix change to the American version on base?
That's what I wonder. I wonder if it's going to change or not. But you know, my nephew, like, he sent me a message the day he moved to Korea, and he's like, guess what? And he was naming all this stuff. If you don't know this, Netflix in other countries is awesome.
Yeah.
Netflix in America sucks. I mean, it's good. Like, you got Altered Carbon now, you got Glow, you got all the originals and stuff. But, like, I was in Canada before we went on our Alaskan cruise, and I was looking at the Netflix, and I was like, oh my God, everything new is out on this thing.
Everything
like,
you'd want to watch ever.
Yeah, it's so good. And he was like telling me, like, Rick and Morty, all of it is on Korean Netflix. That's interesting. I think so, not sure yet though. You'll find out. You'll update us.
If they got Rick and Morty, surely they should allow Carmen.
I don't know. Well, there's a difference. Rick and Morty is not as much nudity.
I mean, yeah.
But because all but Alter.
Yeah.
There's some. I mean, some bumping and some grinding, and some oohs and some ahs. You know. It's a good, I mean, oh God, but it's such a good show. Like,
yeah, it's so good.
I love the fact, too, that the main character is played by three different actors.
The chick that played his sister, too, I was trying to think of where she was from. She was in that season of,
She's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, she's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She plays the matron of the...
She's also in Dollhouse. She kills in the Dollhouse.
She's really good in Altered Carbon,
too. Oh, man, she is amazing. So there's like a naked sword fighting scene. I still haven't watched it, but there's a video on YouTube too where she talks about naked sword fighting.
Oh, I would watch that. That's the choreography for that scene though was right? So good.
Yeah. And she is like fit. Like she's not, I mean, I really like that cop lady, but she's just jacked.
She's
like
ripped.
She's tall, she's ripped, like she's like, you know, she's not Ronda Rousey by any means, but she's
muscular enough that I was she's like, oh,
fit, and you're like, oh shit, like she's a threat.
She's gonna whoop my ass.
It's funny how restrictive they are on the sex stuff though. When I have spotted Song Tong Sally out several times. Oh, Song Tong Sally is a lady out in Korea that she likes to take people's husbands and do things.
Oh.
And I think get paid. I don't know. But anyways, Altered Carbon, like, fantastic. Like, I absolutely love
Makes
it.
Makes me want to go finally watch Lost in Space.
And I really dig the first actor who played, or Takeshi? Maybe not the first actor, but
So the guy who played him as the original him, like his actual body. The
Asian dude?
Yeah.
I love that guy. He's so good.
Yeah, he's really cool. And then the guy who played him for like one scene in the very beginning, the other Asian guy. Yeah. And then he comes back also. Shit Russian accent. Like he did the right, because the Russian guy, he comes back as a Russian guy and it's shit Russian accent. But he did, I mean, he did a really good job. He kills it. I like him. He was just badass in The Expanse.
Badass Asian dude, white as shit dude.
Yeah, Joel Kinnaman from RoboCop, which took me a little while because...
RoboCop, the new one?
Yeah.
I have not seen that
he
yet.
Was the... Don't watch it.
Is it bad?
It's...
Is it anywhere as good as the original?
No.
Because I love the original
RoboCop. No. So what's frustrating is like the original, you know... He still has parts of his body, like in the original.
Yeah.
Like, and then they graph the suit around him. Mm-hmm. And this one, he has his entire body. He's like, he's, I don't remember how he dies, but there's a point where he dies and then he has his entire body. Most of it, I think some of it was blown up and stuff. And instead of just building a suit around him, they cut him down to just his lungs and his face. So and I think they even just graft his skin around a metal suit. So they mutilate him down to shove him into the suit. And I just keep thinking, because he, you know, he's a family man, you know, and his wife, you know, she's like, I love you. And I'm like, been around since the 70s. Oh, she's a madam, been around since the 70s. Okay. But anyways, he's like, I would have been like, the first thing I woke up, I realized they cut me down to what they cut me down to, because they actually show him at one point. I would have been like, you cut my dick off.
Right?
Like, I can no longer make love to my wife. Like, that's a serious...
Right? How dare you?
It's really bad, but Joel Kinnaman's always been good. He was in Suicide Squad.
Was he?
Yeah, he was he was Rick Flag in Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's okay.
I've seen him before.
And he does a good job. And I think he actually does a really good job. Like... You know, because at the end, the things that he has to do, he of course, is crying over it and stuff. And he does a good job showing the emotion. Like, in the beginning, he's actually considering, like, straight-up suicide. Because what you do is you blow out the thing that's your memory chip.
He really, the way he portrays it, he makes you believe that, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to have one last bomb-ass night on this earth, and then boom.
Yeah.
There you go.
Blow he does a good job. The one thing, though, that I don't like is the translation from... The guy who played him as the original him, so that Asian guy, to him, it's hard seeing those two as the same person.
Yeah, it's like they bring him back into a different stack, which I understand is a new experience, but he does like a complete 100 and he acts completely different.
Yeah.
From how he used to, and I was like, would you really change that much?
I think it would have been better if the second Asian guy that played him would have just been him the whole time. If it had just been the two. Because then it gets extra confusing because you get, like, three people. But if you haven't seen... if you haven't seen Altered Carbon and you don't have any kids around, watch Altered Carbon. It's really good. It's super good. It gets really... Like, it's weird, too, because it starts off sci-fi-ish.
Yeah.
Almost to the level of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Where Blade Runner is sci-fi, but it feels close enough that it doesn't, you know, it's not like a sci-fi show.
Yeah.
But by the end, it's a sci-fi show. Like you're...
Altered Carbon surprises you, too, because when I first started watching it, I went and checked the episodes, and I was like, there's only 10. How can they tell a full, complete story with 10 episodes? And then you watch it, and it tells the full story. It concludes nicely. Like, it's all neatly wrapped up. Fantastic package.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know what I've been noticing with the Netflix? It seems like Netflix's writing formula is laying out very similarly on all their successful shows. Stranger Things. So what's interesting is around the same episode line, it's usually 7 or 8. They do something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So in comparison, Stranger Things, they just do the entire 11 episode where she's out.
Yeah.
And then for Glow, they do an actual episode of Glow. Like a whole episode in season 2.
Really?
Yeah, and then for Altered Carbon, they do the backstory of everything that happened. It's like they take a break away from the storyline to tell a different cohesive story. And so I've been noticing that with like Netflix's, and I wonder, I would love to see like what their actual formula is.
Yeah, I'm really loving, like, almost all the original stuff they put out.
Yeah.
All their shows. I watched some of their original crime documentaries. They were fantastic. Like,
oh, yeah.
And it's only going to get better.
Like, have you seen American Vandal?
I haven't seen that yet, but I watched Making a Murderer, and that one was really good.
I haven't watched Making a Murderer. American Vandal is a mockumentary. Crime documentary. It's about a kid who draws a bunch of dicks. The car. It's so funny.
Their originals are only going to get better next year. I read an article. They're spending a record like $18 billion on original content for next year.
Their originals are already so good.
Yeah.
It's Altered Carbon, right? I just looked up Ultra Carbon thinking that's what he said.
It's Altered.
No, it is Altered Carbon, not Ultra Carbon.
Although, if they put out a show called Ultra Carbon, I'd probably watch it.
Well, see, you want to know what's great? So one thing I didn't know about Altered Carbon, and I was doing some research on it, the same guy who wrote the book, The Matrix, and he wrote the Blade Runner books, mm-hmm. wrote Altered Carbon.
I have not read the book yet, but I'm...
Yeah, and there's extra books, so they're open to more seasons. I'm like, oh, because
I've been meaning to read those books, like our library didn't have them, and then I really want to read the books that the Witcher series is based on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm super into that, like fantasy, sci-fi, magic, medieval genres.
I really want to play The Witcher 3, but I think I may actually just wait for... Is it Steampunk 2077?
Yeah, Steampunk 2077.
Yeah, Steampunk 2077. I think I might just wait and play that.
That looks bonkers.
To get dropped into the world, because I'm getting amped for that. I really want to play it, actually.
First-person sci-fi RPG, like, sign me up.
Yeah, well, and made by CD Projekt Red. Yeah. So...
I haven't beat The Witcher 3 because there's so much content, like doing all the side quests and all the DLCs. There's over 300 hours. I've played like 30 hours into it, and it's what I've played. It's fantastic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Visually, even though it came out years and years ago, it's still one of the best looking games out right now.
Like, yeah.
It looks fantastic.
It keeps popping up for $20 on Steam, and I'm like,
oh. Yeah, I haven't seen it since I bought my new gaming laptop, but if it pops up for $20 again, I will pick it up. It went on sale on PSN for $15, and that was for the like Wild Hunt edition with all the DLC. And that's when I finally was like, "All right, I'll give Witcher a try." And then I played it for like 12 hours straight after I bought it.
I'm really bummed about the Steam Summer Sale this year for me because I ended up like I got a $50 gift card. And normally, what I do is I conservatively buy, so I go for number and quality of games rather than just quality and price. Mm-hmm. But this year, I got Wolfenstein 2, I got Prey, and I got Doom. Just boom, boom, boom. And that was $50 gone.
As soon as my laptop charger broke and I've been waiting for a new one to come in, Steam summer sales, get this game and this. Like, half my wish list is on sale, but my laptop is...
It's over now, dude.
Yeah.
It's such a heartbreak. Because my nephew, too, he just got a gaming laptop, and so he's talking to me about, like, what games? And I said, okay, here's what you do. I said, if you want to break down on what to do, I said, get Steam. He's got Steam. He's bought a game already. He's playing Shadow of Mordor.
Good game.
Yeah, he loves
that game.
I said, what you do is you build up a wish list of everything you want. I said, even if you kind of want it, put it on there. I said, and then as soon as it goes on sale on Steam, which they have deals all the time.
I love that Steam notifies
you. It'll email you.
It emails
you. Straight up emails you.
And then it'll email me, and like when I have money, I'm like, all right, done.
Yeah, right? So then, you know, you kind of keep your eye out, and you're like, ooh, you know, like, I'm waiting on the Batmans again, because I really think, I think those are ones that I want to own forever. Like,
I really want to replay through them. I don't know, did they re-put Arkham Knight out on PC? Did they fix it yet?
I've heard they fixed it.
Okay, because I know when it was released.
I might be wrong.
When it was released, it was unplayable.
Yeah, it was completely unplayable.
And it was so bad.
I don't think it would still be on Steam for so long.
Oh, yeah. It was so bad that they took it off Steam and refunded people their money for purchasing the game.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, you pay like $60 and then you just can't play it.
Yeah, it's like $60 and like people couldn't even get past the first 10 minutes. Like, it was that unplayable. I was like, did anybody play test this for PC?
That game, I don't know. And I ended up selling it. I had it on Xbox One for so long, and after I started it, I really just didn't dig it.
I didn't dig the forced Batmobile segments.
Right, that's what I was...
You had to solve puzzles with the Batmobile. They were really convoluted, and like you would never figure it out unless you were like looking it up online or had a guidebook or something.
So I didn't. I didn't even finish it.
So yeah, I got like 3 hours in, and I had the same problems with it that I had with Mass Effect Andromeda.
Maybe what I'll do is I'll go back and watch all the cinematics.
Yeah.
And then enjoy it from there, because I just don't dig it. There's a number of games that
I've been doing that lately. Oh, I forget the name of the channel, but one of my favorite games of all time is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. The people that did Mass Effect did that one. Well, the game is so long, and I have so many other games to play, that this dude literally took himself playing the game. Like, he played through the whole story, and he cut it down into bite-sized chunks, and he cut it down and edited it well enough that it's like a cohesive TV show. It's broken into like hour-long episodes, and each one is just another section of the story, and he broke it down enough that it's like you're watching a TV show of Knights of the Old Republic.
I mean, that's kind of what, it's a really good idea if you have the time to edit all
and,
that shit.
Yeah, no, so I'm watching it, and I'm like, this is so well put together. Does he have a job? How did he have this much free time? Like,
right? I've just got like a load of games that I just need to play. Like, you can see right here.
No,
you can't. You can't. So you can see right here. Like, this is my. And then I re-downloaded StarCraft because it's free on Blizzard.
Yeah.
I told my nephew I'm like immediately play that Darwin and Project. I really want to get into.
I really want to buy the StarCraft remastered.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know what? It's only $20.
Yeah.
I looked it up. I was like, that's super cheap. But these are just what I'm working on. Like, I haven't even started Tomb Raider.
Have you beaten all those?
No.
Have you beaten any of those? Have you beaten Dishonored? You told me you played it.
Yep, played and beat Dishonored. Played and beat Black Flag.
I assume you've beaten Borderlands.
Yep, played and beat this, played and beat that.
I still...
Deep Prey.
This is going to sound weird. Black Flag is my favorite Assassin's Creed game, and played I still and haven't Sims. Beaten it.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I cried at the end of that game.
And my favorite part in the game is your favorite part, and that's searching for sea shanties.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking up reviews online. People complain about that. That's their least favorite part of the game.
Why?
Literally, they just shoehorn this in to add more hours. The sea shanty part is dumb. It's not even fun. I'm like, get out of here. What?
I love the ability to earn. So here's the way that I like it. Oh, Dritz.
Oh,
don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Stay awake.
Yeah.
What I love... I'm talking away from the thing. What I love about it, it took something that was useless, because you used to have just things that you would chase and try and catch.
Yeah.
And they were useless. They didn't do anything. And it gave you a reward. Like, it was... They didn't shoehorn that in.
Here's a trophy for 30 wasted hours of gameplay.
Yeah, they gave you something substantial for it.
I loved when I found my first sea shanty, and I didn't know you could collect those, and then I was like, what is this? And then, like, the sea shanty pops up, and your crew will, like, sing them back to you.
Oh, man, it's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Good. Yeah, Black Flag. So I've probably beaten 5 or 6, but, like, you know, I've played Doom, but I haven't beaten Doom.
I haven't beaten either. Doom's hard as hell.
I actually bought Prey so that I can buy Prey Moon Crash sometime.
Yeah.
Because Moon Crash seems dope.
Doom was just hard for me because a lot of the first-person shooters that I play, like, even in Borderlands and stuff, you can stop, you can aim, you can stand still. In Doom, you gotta constantly
move, or you're not gonna sit still.
I died a lot.
Yeah, you
like,
run.
What do you mean I can't stop for 1 second?
You gotta run in a circle forever.
So, yeah, when I played Doom, it was very stressful. My heart races every time I played Doom.
Oh, yeah. But that's, like, the best part about
Doom. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna die.
That's what I think they kind of made that into Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein 1... There are times where you can slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
There are times where you can't. Like, the final boss in Wolfenstein 1 is nuts.
Yeah.
That is the moment where you cannot sit still. Wolfenstein 2, though, it seems that way immediately, where you really, like, it's just go, go, go until you've killed everything. And then it searched the environment.
I love the Wolfenstein games because they've got fantastic stories.
And
a lot of times, first-person shooters, story's just awful. Like, Call of Duty every year, the story is just ho-hum. If you get, like, a Battlefield, the story is just okay. Like,
well, and where they have room to
to sort of slack off, because really in Wolfenstein that there's so you're killing Nazis. Basic Wolfenstein 3D. Oh, you're killing Nazis. That was it.
Yeah.
And then it would get more and more absurd from there. Like by the end, you'd have fucking Mecha Hitler.
Yeah.
You know? So you know, it's.
Were you able to get Wolfenstein on Dad's new computer?
Yes, he needs a controller now. I gave him my 360 controller, but I'm not sure it's working. I haven't asked.
I have
him.
That blue one I can bring back. I got an Xbox One controller.
Yeah, if you bring that back, I'll
bring that back next week.
And awesome.
Give that to your dad.
That'll work. Because he chicken pecks buttons. So my dad, for those of you who don't know, my dad has played Wolfenstein since we were like little kids. Since 3D came out and he found it, he's played it. Because my dad is ultra, like, fuck Nazis. I'm a German-American. I love killing Nazis. That's what he does. And so he got a brand new gaming computer for my sister. She was super gracious. And my brother-in-law. They were very gracious to get him this gaming computer we had to put together. It took us months to put this thing together. We ended up fucking up the motherboard.
Yeah,
we fucked up the motherboard. Had to get another motherboard. Paid some professionals to set the processor into the motherboard. It's done. He's got the whole thing together. Now he's working on gaming. And I gave him my Steam account. I'm like, yeah, you know, just make sure you're playing in offline mode. So he's playing some Wolfenstein, and he's chicken pecking the forward and back buttons while chicken pecking the control and shift buttons, trying to sprint forward and slide under this thing before this thing murders you. And it's and you go forward. Oh, okay, okay. Backward. Okay. Oh, okay. Forwards. Oh, okay. Backward. I'm like, this guy needs a controller. So we got that. I mean, you know, he's started on it. He's got Wolfenstein 1 and 2 downloaded, and he's trying to play both simultaneously. He's like, yeah, I started 1 and I started 2. And I'm like, why didn't you start 1 and then beat 1 and then start 2? He's like, no. I'm like,
no, if I play both at once, I can kill twice the next.
It's a continuous story. And he's like, no. Okay, Dad. That game is so much fun.
Yeah.
And then Prey is like, I love Prey. Because Prey's more about strategy also. Because you get resources. There's a resource and crafting thing. And then there's you can increase abilities and stuff, and some of that is increasing your technical know-how. And so, like, I've maxed out my ability to work with turrets. So I'll see a bad guy, and I'll be like, oh, shit. And then I'll go hide, and I'll know where the bad guy is, and then I'll just grab, like, 5 turrets and set them up and max out the turrets. And then I go, and I, like, poke the bad guy, and then I run behind the turrets, and I shoot them. You shoot the bad guy with a glue cannon, so it slows him down, and then he's just getting by the turrets. That's the, like, and my buddy's like, I don't know how you played this, and you're able to kick so much ass, and I'm like, oh, because I became best friends with my turrets. It's like, the only time that was a bad thing was there's what they call, like, a technopath. And it's this big old floating blob, and it sucked up all my turrets, and I was like, ah! It's going, so, please don't kill me. Never.
My baby.
I even maxed the turrets out, so it took all the hard work I put into those turrets and turned it against me. I was like, no!
What have I done?
It was terrifying. I love Prey, though. I love Prey. That's one of my favorite games of all time. But yeah, my nephew was just, you know, he's like, I don't know what games I should get. And then he goes, did I make a mistake getting Shadow of Mordor over the Batman games? And I'm like, look, you chose what you chose. I said, they're both great games.
I still haven't beaten it because I'm doing there's a ton of side stuff you can do, and I'm just sticking around doing all that. And it's super fun.
Yeah, it's. You said you chose the game, and they're both good games. So when you get a new, you know, I mean, when you do come back and play the Batmans later on, you're not missing out.
I love the Arkham games. It's the same combat. I do like in Shadows of Mordor. Like, I know it came out way later, but there's a lot more to do. Like, there's more bad guys to fight. And
it's super compact. Yeah,
because in the Batman games, like, you can fly around in the second one, Arkham City and stuff, but there's not actually a whole lot of bad guys to fight.
Well, so the first Arkham game, well, there's a good amount of bad guys, but you have to find them.
Yeah.
But the first Arkham game was Arkham Asylum, so it was this compact area,
and it gave you a lot to work with. Asylum.
And then Arkham City, like, expanded the map range.
Yeah.
And it made some of the bad guy layouts a little more complex.
Yeah.
So rather than making a dense atmosphere, which, I mean, there's some density to it, but it's not as dense as, like, Shadow of Mordor is dense.
Them damn fights in Arkham City, when you would run into a group of guys and, like, three of them would have the shields on you, and they attack you at the same time. I'm like, I can't jump over three of you at once.
Yeah, it's interesting. So there's a lot of density to Mordor.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I mean, because it's a different style of gameplay. The Batman Arkham games are all about stealth and how you lay things out. Whereas Mordor is straight orc murder. Like, that's all it is. It's just orc murder. Like, how do I kill orcs in the coolest way possible?
I think Arkham City, for me, had a better story.
But
gameplay-wise, I liked Arkham Asylum better. I just loved the close-knit, like, claustrophobic atmosphere. In Asylum, you really felt like you were Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, some of my favorite moments when you could, like, grapple down from the statues and, like, grab up bad guys and shit.
You wrap them, they hang from the ceiling.
This is total Batman shit.
And it was cool, like, how you worked fear, because then whenever they would find, like, they'd be like,
you could make them afraid and start to panic. But then there was those moments, you don't see it a lot in the movies or the show, but, like, you would drop down on a group of bad guys, and, like, two of them would have machine guns, and then they would just waste you, and you're dead. And you get mad, but then you're like, well, I mean, Batman has no protection, so he would die.
Oh, yeah. So she said he's terrified of overloading. So my nephew got his brand new laptop, right?
Yeah.
This is the first time he's ever, like, had a computer.
Yeah.
So he calls me last night. He's like, or he emails me. He's like, hey, he's like, my computer's doing all this stuff, and I don't know what's going on. I'm worried. I said, well, have you run any anti-spyware, and antivirus on it? And he's like, oh, no. I've ruined my computer already? I got a virus? How did I even get a virus? I said, well, I said, you know, calm down. I said, anytime you go somewhere to download something, you're probably going to get something on it. I said, but it's not a big deal. You can scan and get rid of that stuff. I said, unless the computer's on fire, you're fine.
Most of the viruses you get are harmless. Like,
yeah,
your malware will take care.
It just slows your shit down. Yeah. That's what it does. So he's like freaking out, and then also he's like he tried restarting it, and he said when he woke up in the morning it was still restarting. I think it might be his computer updating, because computers can take forever to update when you first get them.
Windows. When I first got my computer, it took like 2.5 hours just to turn on with all the updates.
Right.
And then the first time I restarted the damn thing, I had to sit there for like 4 hours while it applied like 700 updates.
Yeah, it just updates a lot. So he's like freaking out that he thinks he destroys me. I said, first of all, just wait till your dad gets home. I said, he goes, have you ever done anything like this? And I'm like, well. And I was telling him about the days, like, when I was growing up, you know, my dad and I used to pirate shit on like Kazaa LimeWire and stuff. LimeWire. I was downloading songs and stuff, and I downloaded I told him to calm down and wait for Nathan to get home to fix it. Yeah. it was a Gorillaz song, Clint Eastwood. And, like, if you were, like, looking at the file signs of each song, it'd be, like, one would be, like, 1.1 megabytes or whatever it was back then. I don't remember. And then the one that I downloaded was, like, 0.01. Clearly a virus. Shucked out my dad's computer. Like, completely shucked it out. He was so pissed when he got home. He was like, oh, my God. But, I mean, him and I did that together. So I'm like, you know, it's not a big... I said, just calm down. Just be careful. You know, I said, don't download things, you know, like, you know, don't go out there and like torrent and stuff. I said, he doesn't know any of that stuff anyways. I said, you just have to be careful where you download stuff from. You have to be careful, even during the installation process, because a lot of these things want to add extra shit on your computer.
I used to do that, but then I'm one that if I've downloaded it and I really like it, I'll buy the actual whatever content it is to support
whoever made it.
Like,
well, I mean,
well, for stuff like, I don't have HBO to catch up on Game of Thrones and stuff like that. I'll just get the episodes when they come out. I'll watch them, and then I'll buy the seasons when they come out.
Yeah, but like we don't even download anymore. It's just when I was telling him that, it's like, he was like, he downloaded Warframe for free. You know, it's whenever you go to like places to get free games and stuff, it's fine, but you have to be careful where you're downloading it from. Like, you know, if it's on Steam, download it from Steam. You know, make sure. Yeah. And that's the process of being careful. You know, like Blizzard, like StarCraft is free. You go on a Blizzard and you download it from Blizzard for free. You know, you're getting a safe product rather than, you know, going to the sketchy website. Like, well, I was trying to re-download Steam on my computer and I ended up on a sketchy website and I was like, And as soon as I click the download button, my computer was like, what? I was like, oh, yeah, no, okay, we got to go to the Steam website. You know, like, you got to make sure everything you download is from the safest place possible.
Yeah. I mean,
And even then, you're still going to get spyware, malware.
I've been on the internet long enough that normally when you're on there long enough, you can tell as soon as you get onto a website, like, this is shady. Like,
yeah. There was one shady one I was on last night, though. It's got like old games on browser for free. And so what it does is you click on it and it downloads it onto the browser and then you play it from there. So like Wolfenstein 3D was on there. They also had Dungeon Keeper, which if you've ever played Dungeon Keeper, I was like, I've been looking for Dungeon Keeper for a very long time. And I really don't want to buy it from Origin because I think they want to charge. Maybe it's $5, but still. I don't really want to pay $5 for that game. So I found it on there and I was like, ooh. And then like today I ran like some anti stuff. I ran all my spyware and my malware and I was like, oh, yeah, that was probably a pretty seedy website.
Yeah.
But it was a good, I mean, I was excited. I was like, ooh, I'd love to play Dungeon Keeper again.
As soon as I got this gaming laptop, like they give you Norton, but it only lasts for 30 days. It's that trial. And then they
Norton's more of a virus its own now.
Yeah,
you know,
like I told Norton, like, no, I'm not going to subscribe. They want to charge you an outrageous price for Norton. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll be in the middle of playing a game on Steam, and it'll close me. It'll minimize me out to the desktop, and Norton will pop up. Subscribe to Norton now. I'm like, leave me.
Yeah, you have to uninstall that shit.
Oh, do you?
Go into your programs folder and uninstall that shit because it is. It is a virus on its own. Yeah. Like, that is the worst thing. Norton, like,
you're worse than any virus you're trying to protect your computer from.
Yeah, Norton, you're not doing anybody any favors. You want to know why I actively haven't bought Norton, no matter how much money? Because you're fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Like, the guy, you guys, like, do you really think minimizing what someone is in the middle of to convince them to buy it is going to convince them to buy it? Like, that is some seedy, disgusting shit.
It's going to make me angry, and I'm gonna be like, hey, Norton, fuck
yeah, you. Never. I have now put you in my never, ever, ever list. Even if you donate so much to charity, to starving children, never. Like, I am never going to buy Norton because you guys are... Same thing with McPhee.
Oh, yeah.
McPhee is, like, hidden in a lot of programs you're trying to install on. Yeah, and it just... Oh, we're over here. I was like, whoa, are we still going?
There's stuff online, too, where I'm like, all right, I want to download this one thing. And then randomly, it auto-downloads McPhee for me. And I was like, I don't want this on my computer. And then I got to uninstall it.
Yeah. Well, so it's whenever you're installing in the programs, there's an agreement in there. And all you got to do is click the box, and it'll skip it. You just have to make sure the box is, like, not checked.
A lot of times, though,
it sneaks itself in.
It's, like, teeny tiny magnifying glass print with a little bitty box. And...
Mm-hmm. So here's what I got to say, McPhee. Never. You're on the list with Norton, and never. Never, never, never. I will never. Heather says we are WoW freaks in our house. Yeah, they all play World of Warcraft.
I downloaded
it. I can't.
I bought a 2-month subscription. Because two of my close friends play it, and I thought they were going to play with me. And then he literally was like, my friend was like, no, we just like to play by ourselves. And I was like, okay, I understand. And then, like, that weekend, one of our other friends showed up to Multiverse, and he got on WoW, and then my friend told me he only likes to play with him and his girlfriend. He looks at my other friend, and he's like, oh, dude, play with me right now. And I was like, are you serious? Like, what? I was salty about it.
Yeah, I've never...
$60 for the 2-month subscription so that I could play with my friends, and then they all quit playing. Or they did the thing of the first time I was playing WoW, they told me, we're all going to play Alliance. Like, let's play Alliance characters. Yeah, let's do it. I get that far. I choose Alliance. All my friends are like, sucks to be you. We're all horde. I was like, what? So we can't play together? I mean, you can make an all-new character and level it up. What? I was so mad. I installed WoW. That game updates too much. There's an update every couple days, and it's
that's what I don't like about...
It's getting to be almost 200 gigs of my computer. Like, it's outrageous.
That's what I don't like about Fortnite, is it's constantly updating.
Yeah.
It's just constantly updating, and I'm like, there are at least 1 or 2 gigs that update every other day. Switch,
only because the people that play it on console and PC have been playing forever, and they're way better than me. When I played it on the Switch, I won a couple matches. The people that are new to Fortnite.
Oh, nice. I haven't even touched it. You're always more than welcome to come join our guild, LOL. We have both Alliance and Horde guilds.
Like, wow. I like to play... Like, I have an Alliance character right now.
You know what? You would actually probably sync up with them perfectly, too, because you work in the middle of the fucking night, and they are in the middle of the night, like, their daytime.
I'm like a zombie.
Yeah, Tommy's awake. For those of you guys who don't know, Tommy's awake in the middle of the night. This is his middle of the night. Like, he works during third shift, so...
Normally when I sleep, but Wednesdays... Yeah. I miss sleep to come chill with you guys.
Yeah, which is super nice. Apparently, Dritz is... I don't know if he's missing sleep or if he's... Okay, I'm gonna message him.
Dritz, you missed the wildest podcast ever.
The wildest!
We were talking to an inanimate snail.
Hello? We pretended you were an inanimate snail. Which is fun.
We were talking.
Normally I sleep in two, except for Isaac being a turd today. That's what I figured. He'd probably be in a bit of a turd. But yeah, this is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've just been watching a lot of TV. I started the half of the first episode of Luke Cage.
I haven't even seen season one. I watched 3 episodes. And I couldn't get into it. Everyone else loved it. I was like, it's whatever to me.
I thought it was all right. I thought it was pretty good. But I just, you know, and the only reason why I watched it, but the thing that I really want to see is I heard Danny Rand shows up in season 2. So I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. But I haven't been...
An underrated show.
Yeah.
Everyone hated Iron Fist. I loved it. When I told people that I enjoyed it, they got angry.
Well, so my problem with Iron Fist, he starts off perfect. I think the first episode, he's perfect. He is super zen. He's super chill. And then he goes into this weird moody mode where he's always like, I'm the mother Iron Fist! And I was like, Danny, why are you freaking out so much? The rest of the story structure is really cool.
My favorite part about it is the badass, like, Chinese dojo chick that becomes his girlfriend. Like, she is
Awesome.
So good in Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah. She's like, super cool. But she's like, but he's like super moody. So I'd like to see how season 2 works with him.
Yeah.
Now that the hand is dead, I hope that they don't have too much more with the hand.
Yeah.
I hope that they, I just want to see him less moody. Like, I want to see him, because, like, the Danny Rand that I'm used to was in Ultimate Spider-Man, the cartoon. So he's super chill about everything. I thought that would be the greatest thing for him. They had him and they had Luke Cage as teenagers in high school, and they were best friends.
That's cool.
And he's just the super chill guy. Super enjoyable.
Speaking of that, a fantastic show. It is definitely worth a watch. I saw the first 12 episodes. I gotta catch up. But Marvel has a new Spider-Man cartoon out. But it's like Peter Parker's back in high school, and it's all that crap.
Well, it's supposed to be the closest thing to the current Marvel Spider-Man.
It's actually really good.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I guess I'll watch a couple episodes, and I watched the 12 they had at the time, and really liked it.
I've heard really bad things, and I get kind of jilted because what Disney does is they take really good stuff, they cancel it, so then they can push something that kind of relates to the movies, like the newest Avengers series. I mean, I've heard good things towards the end of it, but...
The first one was amazing. But Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
Yeah, I think that's the one. Whatever the first one
is, I watched it all and I was like...
That was Nickelodeon.
Give me more of this.
They got two seasons.
Disney was like...
They canceled it because Disney bought Marvel. So they canceled it. And then they started this new one that was kind of just okay and really frustrating because Earth's Mightiest Heroes was so good. Yeah. They covered so much.
Forever hate Disney for the Star Wars EU. Like, while officially it technically wasn't canon, like George Lucas said, like, it's there. It's part of the Star Wars universe. Like, this is Star Wars. So technically it was canon, but I guess not officially. And then Disney just came in and they're like, yeah, you know all those really good books that they made in between the movies? Like, forget all that. That never happened. This is the EU. That doesn't happen. And I've so many good characters. Mara Jade is from the extended universe. Mara Jade's badass.
They've got a lot of like inspiration they're trying to draw from it, but all in all, like, I don't know. Star Wars is super disappointing right now because it's past its golden prime.
I'm afraid because Billy Dee Williams is confirmed for episode 9, and I'm afraid they're gonna kill him off.
They're gonna kill him, and they're gonna kill Leia. They have to kill Leia off. Yeah. Yeah,
if they him and Leia. Off, I swear to God.
Oh my God! Like, is that the line? Oh, that's gotta be the line. Like,
they've killed Han. If they killed Leia. If they killed Chewie and
what Leia, if that was the
oh
end?
My God.
What if that was the end of the thing? Like Chewie is like battling. Like that's the don't climax.
Mess like, don't mess
is the death of Chewie, C-3PO, and fucking R2-D2.
Like, Chewie dies and R2 gets blown up and then nobody watches Star Wars ever again.
C-3PO dies in the beginning of 9. R2 is the tragic sacrifice in the middle.
Oh.
And then at the end, the big peak is the death of Chewie.
I could see like Lando dying and Chewie going nuts because they were friends and then Chewie getting gunned down right after Lando and then I would just lose my shit.
Like... That's something I know they're gonna fuck it up. I know they're gonna fuck it up because what they're gonna do is they're gonna kill Lando and then they're gonna like half-ass kill Chewie off. But that's the most tragic thing. If they kill Chewie, that's what they need to do is they need to do it right.
If they kill Chewie, I'll riot. I'm also gonna. They better handle Leia's killing well. Like they better not fuck that up. I don't have high.
So J.J. Abrams is doing the 9th, isn't he?
Yeah, which. Everyone was so divided on it. I actually thoroughly liked The Force Awakens. Like, I really liked it.
Well, so the problem is like, George Lucas handled the 3 movies, the first 3. The second 3 was handled by, like, one set of people.
Yeah.
This third set has been handled separately, and they what they did is they really fucked up.
Yeah.
Because they hired J.J. Abrams to build this great... Like, I mean, this huge, complicated, intricate, great story that could be, like just amazing. And then they hired this extremely talented director after him. But this guy was like, fuck everything that you guys are doing. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then he shat on everything J.J. Abrams did. And now J.J. Abrams is going to come in.
They have to hire him to clean up the mess.
And like, fix the mess for the 9th movie, which is like...
Please message it.
Like, you shouldn't have... That's the problem.
And
is
then
that, like,
I heard, it's confirmed, as he fucked up 9 bad, but apparently he's getting his own Star Wars trilogy.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
If he starts from nothing...
Yeah, if he starts from nothing and makes a trilogy... Because they're gonna... I mean, listen. Leia's gonna be dead. Luke is dead. Han is dead. They're probably gonna kill off Chewie. They're probably gonna kill off Billy Dee Williams. They might even kill off the robots. If they don't kill off the robots, fine. But this gives him
outside of, and I'm sure they're going to finish the story for Rey and for Ben. This is going to be the ultimate fresh start.
Rian Johnson fucked up Rey, man. My whole part after watching the seventh movie, everyone was hyped. The internet was ripe with fan theories. Who the fuck is Rey's parents? Even Daisy Ridley's like, I can't wait to find out.
Nobody. It's nobody.
I'm watching the movie, and then literally Kylo Ren's like, ah, yeah, they were drunk. They literally just got drunk and left you, and I was like, what?
The biggest dick move of the entire series.
The biggest fuck you to all the fans.
Killing off Snoke. Whatever. Luke fading off into the distance and not wanting to be any part of anything. Whatever.
He knew how bad the series was getting. He was like, fuck it, I'm out.
Rey's parents part, the exact way that it was handled, the perfect way, was like, they're nobody. They're literally nobody. It was like Ben was talking to the camera. He's like, your parents? They're no one.
There was no big reveal. Just
Rey's parents are no one.
Nonchalant. Your parents were nothing.
Rian Johnson going... And I was like,
my other biggest gripe with Last Jedi, and it seems silly, that Admiral sacrificing herself by ramming that ship into the other one when those goddamn ships have autopilot.
They have autopilot, which is usually excused by, they're like, oh, we accidentally messed up the autopilot, blah 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 blah.
They didn't give that excuse in the movie. She's just like, I'll stay behind and ram the ship in there. I was like, you have autopilot, set it and get out of there.
But the other stupid thing is after making this entire movie and probably doing some reshoots, right? They should have it should have been Leia. Like, it should have been Leia.
That would have been a perfect send-off.
I know. It would have been an amazing send-off.
To get away.
And then they could have had that actress be the new Leia. Because she was good.
Yeah.
She did not fuck around. She was good.
Yeah.
And now they're lining it up to where Poe is going to be the next Leia. And I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking, fuck, I mean, Poe, man.
he is sassy enough.
He's cool.
Yeah.
He's really cool. He's the Han Solo of this trilogy. But fuck Poe. Like, Poe does not need to be the next Leia. They had the next Leia, and they killed her. And then they kept Leia alive.
Only to kill her in the next one.
Oh, and how they're probably going to do it is, like, in the next one, they're going to be like, oh, by the way, Leia died.
Oh, I swear to God.
That's how it's going to happen. There's no other way. Like, so it's really upsetting that, like...
Although, I would be happier if that's how they handled it, rather than, because I don't know if they still have any footage. Like, if there's extra footage that they shot of her that they didn't use in 9, that they'll use in...
Dude, they could have CG'd the whole thing.
Young
CG'd her into things.
Yeah, the only problem with that is, like, does that disrespect her since she died?
Did you see Ant-Man?
I have not seen Ant-Man yet.
Okay, but you've seen the original Ant-Man.
Yeah, right? I think it's underrated. People say it's the worst Marvel movie. I love Ant-Man.
Are you kidding me? Thor the Dark World, they think it's worse than that?
Oh, Thor the Dark World is the worst.
Because, I mean, Thor the Dark World, I mean, I thought it was okay, but I guarantee it's the worst of them all.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the Marvel Universe, is, like, its worst is still okay, but Ant-Man was way better than
that. Yeah, I loved Ant-Man.
Like, so, but here's what I'm saying. Okay, why is it that Marvel can de-age any person, like, perfectly? Like, Michael Douglas...
Oh,
perfect de-aging. Like
that, the CG for that.
Oh,
the CG,
it was
for that
amazing.
It was so perfect. I didn't even know it was CG.
Flashback to
Tarkin.
Rogue One?
Yeah.
Was it Rogue One? Yeah, Rogue One.
When
Flashback to Rogue One.
Tarkin, and he literally looks like a cutout standing there next to the other dude.
And then Leia at the end was even pretty bad. Like, at one moment, she'll be like, oh, that looks pretty good. And then she'll, like, turn her head a little, and you're like, ugh.
Yeah. Like, oh, kill her now.
What if George Lucas would have came back to be the director of Star Wars the last 3 episodes? I think he's too cranky.
Yeah.
I think he is too cynical and too cranky. And he also, I think he was in charge of the original trilogy, wasn't he? Not the original trilogy, the episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in charge of that, too?
Yeah.
Ugh. A lot of people's faith were...
Nope.
But J.J. Abrams should have overseen the whole project.
An awful movie. And everyone was hyped for one. Like,
but I'll tell you what, it made pod racers happen. Thank you.
One of my favorite video games of the N64 was Episode 1 Pod Racer.
So, but like, and look at
Darth Maul.
Look at Marvel in general. Like, okay, they have a 20 film arc. Ant-Man and Wasp made 20 films. The worst movie is still okay. They have someone overseeing the whole thing, Kevin Feige.
It's amazing to know.
Why hasn't J.J. Abrams been... Why wasn't him or someone similar hired to oversee the entire production of this trilogy?
Like,
if you can do 20 movies overseen by somebody, I mean, originally it was Joss Whedon, and then Kevin Feige took over.
Have all your different directors that they have, but one person like
oversees the whole thing. So that way, you're respecting the work that goes into it. And J.J. Abrams would have been fantastic to oversee the whole thing, because you know he did such a good job building things up. The first movie, it's a rehash of A New Hope, and it's a lot of like exposition and building things up. But it set up the ability to make a lot of really cool movies after that. It set up
great, where I was like, I can't wait for 9. What are they going to do?
And then for 9, they hired...
Poop all over it.
They didn't have any... Like, I mean, maybe they had someone overseeing it, but whoever was doing a shit job. But they there was very little to respect the movie prior. Well, in fact, it didn't...
Kathleen Kennedy kind of oversees stuff.
It didn't just leave those things be and just kind of let them go. It literally went out of its way to disrespect all of that work that J.J. Abrams did.
So bad. There's a fan petition that's been making the rounds on the internet to remake Episode 9. And last I checked, it had over 500,000 signatures.
So here's my thing. I think that 9 was a great movie.
Yeah.
I think as a sequel, though, it was shit. And it was very disrespectful to...
The only thing...
The other one.
The only main parts I didn't like about 9 were all the Canto Blight stuff. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like that.
I didn't care for Kelly Tran's character. That's not to say she wasn't a good actress. She was fantastic.
Rose?
I didn't like the way they wrote Rose. And I actually got mad when people online were so hateful to her because they didn't like Rose. Like,
yeah.
Leaving all kinds of nasty comments. She deleted her Twitter account and everything because of it. And even Mark Hamill's like, hey man, leave her alone.
Rose isn't that bad of a character. She just didn't have much of a purpose. But here's what I like about the Canto Bight stuff. It gave me some time to just stop giving a shit.
Because
that movie was so intense. Like, you needed a break.
I will say, like, I've seen it, like, 3 times now, and every time I rewatch it, it gets a little better.
Yeah, you need a little break, because, like, that whole time, you're like, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? What, like, oh my god, they're being chased, and it's, like, an extremely slow chase, it's so intense.
It was weird also seeing Benicio del Toro in a Star Wars
movie. Right? Well, and then he was really interesting too. I really dug him.
He's so most obvious. I'm like, that's a bad dude. Like, he's 100% obvious. Like,
he's interesting. He's got something going on with Disney because, I mean, he was also the collector
in
Marvel. So he must have something. He must be in their good graces somehow.
What does Disney have on you?
What does Disney have? Or what is it? What does he have on Disney? What does he have on fucking Disney?
Yeah, right.
Disney don't hire people normally. Like,
no.
But he, I mean, I don't know. It was an enjoyable. It's okay, but I just think that. And so to have him do a trilogy by himself, I think is a really good move. Even though people were upset about 9, I think they really ought to go forward and have him do his own trilogy because I think that's going to be
people that are so upset about
revolutionary.
9, I'm like, did you not watch Episode 2? Which my problem with Episode 2 actually cut out all that terrible shitty written romance on Naboo. All the action scenes are fantastic. The battle scene on Genosis at the end is really good. Like, it's all really good. It's just the Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman stuff.
You know what drove me nuts? The fact that like 2 is the worst movie, and then they made an entire series out of like two series, another movie, a mini series, and then a full cartoon, 5-season cartoon show series.
And they're all fucking fantastic.
But they're all better. And I'm thankful that they did it. I'm so thankful that they did it. But my thought was like, when they first came out, I was like,
So when
are we gonna keep focusing on the worst movie? So
when the first Clone Wars cartoon came out, I was really nervous. I wasn't gonna watch it because I found out they're little 15-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But then I found out the dude that animated Samurai Jack was in charge of it. He did everything in that original.
It was good.
So I rented it for Family Video. I think I watched it all in like 3 or 4 hours. There wasn't much, but it was it was so good. And then they were doing the CG thing, and I was like, the trend at the time was there was a lot of CG animated shows, but it was like really crappy like animation. And I was like, I'm not excited for this. Who wants the Clone Wars? And then I watched the first movie that they did first.
Yeah.
It was kind of a cop-out because they took the first 3 or 4 episodes and crammed them together without commercials. And they were like, here's a movie. But I watched it, and I was like, that is some damn good animation.
Yeah, it's really good.
It was fantastic.
They did a good job. Like, they really did a good job.
It made me like Obi-Wan even more. And he's already, like, my favorite character out of the prequel trilogy besides Yoda.
Do you think the Jurassic World trilogy will be the equivalent to Star Wars prequels in a way? No.
No, because I like Jurassic World.
Yeah, Jurassic World 1 was good. Did you see Jurassic World 2?
I saw 2. It's getting a lot of negative reviews. I liked it. Not as good as 1.
I still think
it was good.
So it's interesting. It really reflects the original Jurassic Park trilogy as well.
Yeah.
Because it became number 2 in that one, Jurassic...
The Lost World.
Jurassic Park, The Lost World was more of a creature feature again, like a horror movie monster. So this one became the horror movie monster.
It's kind of the same thing. I went back and rewatched them because they just put them back up on Netflix.
Yeah.
And Jurassic Park is amazing, just like Jurassic World was. And then The Lost World is just good.
It brings it down and it focuses it into more of a scare, like a T-Rex running through a city is scary.
Hopefully, with the third one, they don't go the Jurassic Park 3 route. I hate Jurassic Park 3.
They won't. But what I see happening with Jurassic Park 3 or Jurassic World 3, my predictions from what I saw in Jurassic World 2 is I see Sam Neill returning. And I'm excited. I really want to see Sam Neill return. Yeah. I want to see Sam Neill and Chris Pratt on together. I think that's going to be amazing.
We need to have a scene where they just totally geek out about dinosaurs.
Right? Like, where they both go back and forth because they're both the same character, and like, essentially.
He's not in the second one all that much, but seeing Ian Malcolm again, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, not much at all. I feel like that was actually...
They hyped it up too online. Everyone's like, oh my God, he's back. And then
it
like a total of 5 minutes of screen time maybe.
And it was just him in that Senate hearing.
Yeah, and I was like...
There's no point where he interacts with any of the characters, and I really wanted to see that, was see Jeff Goldblum's interactions with the characters of today. Because
I freaking love Jeff Goldblum.
Because that's what... I mean, and that's what I want to see from Sam Neill, and that's what I want to see from Jeff Goldblum, is those two... being like, look, we did this shit already. And then you guys they really fucked it up.
Yeah.
Like,
Jeff Goldblum he's literally done everything in his career.
He's really nice to see a resurgence on.
Like, Independence Day, Star Wars, all those.
The Fly.
He was in a lot.
Wait, he was in Star Wars?
Or not Star Wars. Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay. I was like, when the fuck did he do Star Wars?
He was in one of the Law and Order spinoffs. Like, he was great in that. Like,
oh yeah, he's always been such a treat. But yeah, no, I think the Jurassic was, because I watched that and it was good. It was more of like a monster creature feature in the sense that they were being hunted by something in a closed space. I thought that what they did with Jurassic World, like the actual place. Mm-hmm. Sucked.
Yeah.
Because essentially they burn it all down. Spoilers. They burn it all down. Like, it's gone. It's not coming back.
It was very anticlimactic, too. They're just like, we burnt it.
And what happened to Jurassic? They go... Because, and that's where they're going to be... That's where they definitely can't do what they did in Jurassic Park 3. Because Jurassic Park 3, they return to Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
They're not going back to Jurassic World.
Because apparently in Jurassic Park 3, no one's heard of Jurassic Park, and this kid and his Jagoff friends are, like, flying around near there and, like, doing water sports or whatever they're doing and shit, and they they crash land there. I was like, why would you ever go near that place?
Yeah, you would think that would be, like, isolated.
Yeah, you think people would be like, that's Jurassic Park. Don't go there.
What if that's the next... What if that's Jurassic World 3? No, it's not. It's not, because you've seen the end of Jurassic World 2.
Yeah.
It's... There's... Because I was like, what if they go back to Jurassic Park? But then I realized... the way that they end Jurassic World 2, it wouldn't even matter at that point. They need to expand on the ending. I'd love to see them go back, maybe for 4.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to go... I think because Jurassic... Which... Well, that means those dinosaurs are still out there in Jurassic Park.
If they do 4, just bring back Sam Neill, but it's like an old, angry-ass dinosaur dude.
Did they blow... Like, did they blow up... Jurassic, but what happened to Jurassic Park? Because the way they're playing it off with Jurassic World, the way that they played that off,
they play it off like it's still there and it exists and everything.
But no, but by the end of Jurassic, well, the beginning of Jurassic World 2, they're like in the Jurassic World area, they're like, these are the last dinosaurs. And they're all about to die. What if, wait, no, isn't Jurassic World set where Jurassic Park was? Because they have that sequence.
It's set on Isla Nublar.
Yeah, and they have the sequence where they're starting up the old RV in Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. So yeah, those are the last dinosaurs. So they did go back to Jurassic Park, but they did okay. But it doesn't matter anyways, because Jurassic World.
I actually know a lot of people that were extras in The Lost and in Hawaii 5-0. Oh yeah. Here we go. Okay, do you think they filmed the first one in Hawaii while we were there, and I know a lot of people were extras in it. The first one with Chris Pratt.
That is, yeah. So Jurassic World was filmed in Hawaii. Some of it was. We actually went to where they filmed some of that. Like, we went on a hike through that area. It was really beautiful. And